Though outwardly resembling the organization of many of their brother legions, the 8th nevertheless displayed several unique traits in keeping with their bloody penchant for subjecting their enemies to pure terror. Know then that this is a record of the structure and disposition of the 8th Legion Night Lords, and a chronicle of their later history before the Great Heresy. Behind the basic skeleton of an Astartes legion, as laid down by the Principia Bellicosa, the 8th had, as the Great Crusade progressed, adopted traditions and titles from their homeworld of Nostramo, with the command echelons of the legion often styling themselves after the courtly nobles and barons of their homeworld. Not without pride, these formalized roles often played into rivalries between Astartes of the legion, many of which turned violent, a comment itself on the often high instances of ill-discipline within the 8th. The Legion's rapid gene-seed implantation and indoctrination practices, employed to rapidly swell their ranks, often put more stock in the successful biological cultivation of a mature Astartes, as opposed to the complete creation of a disciplined and psychologically stable recruit. Raised from gutter scum of Nostramo, recruits often brought with them grudges and gang feuds born in the slums, with enmities often strong enough to survive what paltry attempts at Astartes' psychological conditioning the Night Lords actually employed. Legion structure, overall, placed a high degree of value on the independence of the company-level strategic deployment, which could number anywhere from 100 to 1,000 Astartes. Within this, squads of legionaries were dubbed Talons or Claws, and often ascribed an imaginative or gang culture-inspired sobriquet, something that also applied at company level. This would lead to Night Lords Astartes Claws being identified by such creative names as 10th Blooded of the Harbingers of Nocnista, being in reality Squad Tynoch of the 77th Company, or 12th Forlorn of the Night Scythes for Squad Vibius of the 22nd Company. In terms of tactical disposition, the Legion was much the same as the majority of its brother legions, although within its infantry echelons, the number of squads trained for breacher operations were markedly higher, to better assist in the shock terror tactics and infiltration warfare where the Legion truly excelled. To complement this, the Night Lords placed a high degree of value on fast attack vehicles to deploy infantry to where they were needed most, like Storm Eagle transport flyers or armored personnel carriers like the Rhino. In the case of the former, the Night Lords considered aerial assault a particularly useful method of deployment, as it allowed them to strike right at the heart of an enemy amidst a torrent of gunship fire and roaring retrothrusters, sowing as much confusion and fear as possible. To further this, both the 8th's flyers and armor were often decorated as luridly as possible, featuring everything from sinister artwork to vid screens looping displays of horrid atrocities to the still living, still screaming bodies of their enemies. Additionally, the Legion made wider use of unmanned, automated weapons platforms than almost any other did, preferring to leave the role of static defense to machines in order to maintain forward mobility and momentum in the heat of battle. The platforms would be turned to an altogether more sinister purpose, as there are many records of Night Lords Astartes herding fleeing enemy soldiers, and in some cases helpless civilians and refugees, into ambush zones where the hapless humans would be cut down by pre-concealed sentry guns. Super heavy armor was somewhat uncommon, but still employed. Everyone to eschew the standard line of battle. Even the 8th super heavies would strive to exploit gaps or weaknesses in enemy lines, assaulting the foe where they were weakest and gleefully exploiting any flaws. Formations of such vehicles, once through, would often rampage amongst enemy resupply and communication lines, or seek to isolate groups of troops from each other in order to pick off pieces with greater ease. Often, the Legion would employ prow-mounted dozer blades or rams and simply drive through packed crowds of troops or civilians, grinding the foe into bloody pulp under thousands of tons of smoke-belching war machine. As was common amongst the Legion as Astartes, the 8th developed several formations only it operated, unique to its style of warfare and temperament. First and most recognizable were the Night Lords' Terror Squads. ostensibly differing little from the specialist weapon squads of their brother legions, these Night Lords nevertheless elevated the fear tactics of the 8th Legion to something akin to a dread art form. Such squads were tasked to bring the most terrible, bloody, and creative retribution to the enemy, crafting a unique terror from their almost intimate butchery. As thorough as they were imaginative, the terror squads would mutilate, flay, crucify, and vivisect their way through the body of an adversary army or population. As the years of the Great Crusade progressed, the number of these squads grew sizably, mirroring the Legion's intake of the worst of Nostramo's populace. They became essentially convict squads, home to those Night Lords almost too unstable or psychotic to operate in any other role within the Legion, many of whom bearing the red gauntlets of those marked for execution, their sentences commuted only by their ability to inflict the most valuable of horror upon their foe. Similar in aspect, if not role, the Night Raptors were foremost amongst the Legion's assault cadres, less a military elite and more of a group of Astartes sharing similar, disgusting appetites. Equipped with jump packs to bear them aloft and down upon the foe with as little notice as possible, they functioned in a similar role to jump assault squads of other Legions in many respects, except for the sheer levels of lethal savagery they meted out upon the enemy. The Night Raptors would additionally augment their armor with Vox augmenters, allowing them to conduct their attacks while deafening the foe with pre-recorded audio and looped screaming. The sudden shock assaults of the Night Raptors, descending from the roiling smoke of the sky on fiery trails and heralded by ear-splitting screeches, would often cripple an enemy through sheer, insensate panic alone. Amongst a legion that placed such high value on an individual's reputation, the Atramentar Terminator Elite were the cream of the 8th's dark crop. Hand-picked to be elevated to the first company, these Astartes represented the finest murderers the Night Lords possessed, but also those who had total command over their sick abilities. Unhinged butchers they were not, for that was the role of the terror squads. The Atramentar were caged cruelty, fully aware of the pain they could dispense, and able to do so with terrible precision. They were also renowned for their absolute loyalty to First Company Captain Jago Sevatarion, also known as Sevatar, and, by extension, to the Primarch himself. This was notable amongst a legion, as often fractious and ill-tempered as the Night Lords were. Gang politics played as much of a role within the Legion's command structure as it had in the slums of Nostramo, albeit in a fashion bizarrely melded to Legionnaires Astartes' hierarchy. Conrad Kurz held total authority through dread as much as anything else. It is doubtless that many of his gene sons followed him out of genuine loyalty, but it is just as surmisable that many of the 8th Legion hated the Night Haunter as much as he hated them, following commands simply out of fear of reprisal, or because their gene father granted them the license to inflict suffering upon others. Below Kurz was his inner circle, the Chiroptera, seven personally chosen captains who served as advisors, elevated to this dark court for embodying values and characteristics Kurz deemed most like his own. Shades of Nostraman baronial nobility aside, membership of the Chiroptera granted no official command privilege, but as mentioned previously, reputation was everything in the 8th. In this fashion, one of Kurz's inner circle technically wielded far more influence and authority than any other captain in the Legion, regardless of actual rank. Below the Chiroptera, the captains of the Legion reflected the sway an individual character had over Night Lord's command. One captain could command several companies in a structure analogous to a battalion or chapter in other Legions, holding together many disparate Legion elements through sheer force of personality. Known by a variety of titles, including Master, Commander, Regent, and Exalted, their authority was malleable, as they would often find themselves falling under the attention of another Exalted leader, or a member of the Chiroptera, and subsumed into their goals. By the outset of the Istvan atrocity, the Night Lords had been renegade in all but name for several years. Plagued by incessant visions of disaster and horror, as well as a growing hatred for his festering legion, Kurz had become dangerously unstable. The total lack of moderation in the methods employed by the 8th drew scorn from their brother legions, and curse his own brother primarchs. Like an animal backed into the corner by the crushing inevitability of the dark future he perceived, the Night Haunter became prone to outbursts of unspeakable violence at a moment's notice. An incident with his brother Rogel Dorn of the 7th Legion Imperial Fists during the pacification of the Chirrut system, which left Dorn maimed and Kurz running as a fugitive, proved the final straw for the Primarch. Though this event will be detailed in full in a later record, it is notable here as Kurz brought the 8th Legion home to Nostramo, although this would be no happy reunion. Having finally heard in full of the levels of barbarity to which his domain had regressed, Kurz arranged his void fleet around the planet and unleashed the full might of its weapons. Nostramo was simply annihilated, its atmosphere igniting from the relentless bombardment, its precious adamantium-filled crust splitting open under punishing lance and cyclonic torpedo strikes. None survived. The world was wiped from existence, and the Night Lords lost their last, final tether of restraint. It was the right of any Primarch to dispense judgment in any way he saw fit. Kurz was not the only one of his brothers to destroy an entire world, nor was he even the only one to exact punishment upon his own legion's fief, but the lengths to which he went in both respects far exceeded his siblings. The Council of Terra distantly censured the 8th for their actions, although their writ mattered not, as Kurz took his legion effectively out of the bounds of Imperial law. The Night Lords continued to rampage through the galaxy, answerable, it seemed, only to themselves. Given all we know of the Legion then as now, it comes as no surprise that they were folded into Horus Lupercal's plans so very easily. Already possessed of the belief that his father, the Emperor, was a hypocrite of the most base level, and in charge of a legion of psychotic transhuman murderers, it took barely any persuasion to draw Conrad Kurz and his Night Lords from the Imperial fold. Soon, the atrocities of the 8th Legion would darken the skies of loyal worlds throughout the galaxy, and the full terror of the most hideous of mankind's creations began to slaughter their way through the body of humanity. Hey everyone, thanks for watching. If you like this video and the work I'm doing with this channel, please consider liking and subscribing. Anytime you share a video brings more people in and helps me keep on doing what I'm doing. Also, if there's a legion or a piece of lore you really can't wait to see explored, let me know in the comments what you think I should do next. Thanks, and I'll see you next time. Also, special to this week, the channel just recently hit 1,000 subscribers. I wanted to thank all of you for the amazing support and super helpful feedback you've given me along the way. The love I've gotten for putting time and effort into the work has been really, really gratifying. I know it's a small milestone, but it means a whole lot to me, and I can't wait to keep making more videos. And if you've got an idea for a 1,000 subscriber special, well, hey, let me know.